Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Living Out Loud. This is episode 3, and I'm your host, Kevin Lee, joined by, you could introduce yourself, anyone, start off, say your name and like your year.
I'm Alex, I'm a third year at Drexel University.
I'm Trevor, I'm a sophomore.
I'm Nick, I'm a sophomore.
Ethan, and I'm a pre-junior third year.
And I'm a first year freshman. So we're actually going to talk about Drexel. First question. How does it feel working as like a 19, 20-year-old while still in college, like from the Drexel co-op system? I know, like, I feel like we grow up like very fast when it comes to like working and like school, like balancing those two aspects of life. Like seniors would usually go into like and look for jobs like when they're like what, 22, 23, but like we're 19, 20-year-olds interviewing for jobs. Like, how does that make you feel going through like co-op experience so far?
I'll have to say, dude, it's, like, really helpful. Like, for me, if you start younger, you have more experience with it. So doing 3 co-op cycles, like, makes a lot of life really easy, or getting used to doing a lot of interviews consistently so that when you come out of college, you're not, like, getting cold feet going in, like, into an interview. Like, you know what to do. You know what to look for. You know how to do your research before and stuff like that. But also, at the end of the day, it's for an intern position. Like, there's not much you can do. Like, you can't negotiate your stuff like that, which you're not supposed to. It's like an internship. You're supposed to learn. So like, there are some aspects to it. Like, you're not going to get the full experience that you would from a full-time job, but you get like a spot, like you get like a good kind of mirror or like gateway into see how like corporate works.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like having it be 6 months instead of just like a 3-month summer internship is a big part of it too. Just like you get to sink your feet in really and like actually grow inside the company itself, because honestly, like, there's some stat on it, but Drexel students, it's like 85% of their full-time jobs they get after college come from a previous co-op they had. They always say that in your freshman year
recruitment.
Recruitment type thing. So I think being able to sink your feet in with a specific company and make yourself look good for them is pretty important too. Just not even like, aside from the fact that it's good experience, the fact that you can connect yourself with a specific company and get an offer off of that is pretty important too.
Yeah, especially at a young age. Sheen, Granny?
So like my co-op experience, the current co-op I'm on right now, I enjoy. I really like, I'm actually doing work. But my last co-op, I worked at a nuclear plant where I wasn't really given the trust to do as much, justifiably so, because it's a nuclear plant. It's extremely dangerous if something goes wrong, and it could like result in like thousands of lives being affected. So like, in terms of co-ops, there's ones that you can get where it's absolutely useless. Like, the experience you gain from it, it doesn't really do much. It just gives you credibility to get jobs later on, but which is nice.
That's still
something. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, it's still experience.
Yeah, it's experience is experience, but like, definitely with like some co-ops, the experience you get isn't going to like translate to what you ultimately want to do. Like, I chose mechanical engineering because it's broad. I can explore like my options, so that's why I went from nuclear to pharmaceutical. So like, the broadness of the major kind of just like, it allows me to explore and really figure out what I want to do, which is nice about the co-op program, because I don't need to do that coming out of college as an actual adult trying to like pay for rent and stuff.
Yeah, going off of what Sheen said, like, I'm also a mechanical engineer, and earlier this year I worked for my first co-op as a machinist. So I worked in a factory, and I don't think that's like something I would pursue out of college, but like, it was a very like enjoyable experience to work there. Really taught me a lot about the industry, the manufacturing industry. And yeah, I don't think I would have that opportunity if I wasn't on a co-op program. It probably wouldn't be something I'd look to do as a summer internship if I was going to a different school.
Yeah, and the good part about it is like, you have 3. So like, the first one you could like do a little bit trial and error, and second one be a little bit more specific with what you really want to like pursue. And honestly, do you think like the co-op program like made you choose Drexel over like other universities when applying?
The only reason you go to Drexel should be for the co-op program, and if you aren't here for the co-op program, you're doing something wrong. This school is not, like, realistically the best to be doing. Like, it's academically wise, it's good, but social life, like, you're putting your nose to the grindstone here. You get, like, realistically 8 weeks to do a quarter. You don't get 10 or 11, you get, like, a real good 8. Yeah. First week, you're going over the syllabus. Last 2 weeks, you're doing finals.
Yeah.
And then...
so quick.
And then there's 2 weeks in the middle where you're doing midterms. So it's like, if you want to think about it, you have 6 weeks to do a full class.
Like a semester's worth, like, full work.
Compared to, like, other schools where they have, like, 16 weeks. So.
Yeah, like, something like that, like, normal colleges and, like, traditional universities have is, like, semesters. We have quarters. So, like... all the like after freshman year, like you don't have a summer, you know, like you guys are staying here over the summer, like you guys aren't going home and like experiencing like life of how it was, like, you know.
Well, I mean, you learn to like grow away from it, honestly. Like I feel like honestly for me it's not a bad thing that I'm not getting to go home this summer. I think it's good to pursue something all months of the year. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, I feel like I feel a little bit more productive knowing that I have somewhere that I'm established here during the summer months, even though it's like, I mean, you don't get to have your fun, and that's important too, but you get to a point where it's like, I don't know, what are you going to do when you're at home in summer and you're 21 years old? You're probably going to have a job there. If like, why not have it somewhere that's established here?
Going into like my freshman year, the co-op program, like in my eyes, wasn't the greatest just solely based on the fact that my high school friends were going to be home during the summer and I was going to be up here. But now that like I'm here and I like I'm friends with so many people down here, like my best friends are down here now. It definitely like changes, like your perspective changes on like staying at school over the summer, like doing classes or like doing co-op, because like, yeah, you're being productive, but you're also with, like, the people you spend the whole year with, pretty much. And, like, you don't miss, like, you don't have to, like, go home and miss your friends at school. Like, yeah, you'll miss, like, your hometown friends, but ultimately, they're going to go on their own path. They're going to colleges, like, all across the United States, and ultimately, they're going to grow apart from you while the people you're with throughout college, they're just going to continue to grow closer, and staying at Drexel means that you're staying with like the people you're closest with.
Yeah, which I mean,
go ahead.
I think that you grow to learn that you don't miss out on as much as you actually think you do from not being home. I think you see all your friends going home in May and stuff, and you think you're missing out on so much, but you realize that you really aren't. Not that there's not fun things that you're missing, but it's like, you have just as many fun things going on here. And that's a good thing about the culture, is that most of the time, if you're doing three co-ops, everyone's staying here. So it's not like you're being deserted, left by yourself.
What I also notice is like how in the frat, like after your third year here, you get burnt out from the social life pretty quickly. Cause I feel like being here full year round, you don't get like a 3 month of where you're not in it. Cause I know freshman year, like when I was like end of freshman year, I was like, oh yeah, I want to get back into it. I want to fiending. And then you do like another, you do it a year round and you're like, all right, I'm getting tired.
Last piece of like Drexel questions. Like, what advice would you give to like an incoming person, like considering Drexel?
To go to this school, you have to be okay with like consistently being on top of your work. And if you choose a major, like if you go into engineering, you need to be like, have a plan to study beforehand, because freshman year it's a smooth ride. I'm not engineering, I'm like entrepreneurship and business, but for engineering or any major like that's going to be doing like analysis or anything math or science related, like you need to come in with a study plan. Like you will fuck up quickly after your freshman year, because freshman year is just like
you coast
intro courses and gen eds, where it's just basically another year of high school.
But, like, it's different for, like, the engineers, because, like, this side is, like, all business, right? They're the engineers. Like, our GPA discrepancies are, like, just way more different from engineers. Like, if you're in business and you're below, like, a 3.5, like, come on. Like, what are you kind of doing? Like,
yeah, facts. You have to be trying.
You're, like, trying to, like, fail. But, like, for an engineer, just having, like, an 80 on, like, a midterm or final is, like, God's work. Like, I don't know, like, we're pretty comfortable with the 90s, but, like, they're comfortable with like different scores.
I mean, I think another part of it is just being like diligent and just make it. Yeah, and like nobody's gonna give you anything.
That's true.
You have to take it for yourself.
100%. Nothing's getting given to you, and you'll definitely get left behind.
But like a lot of it is like also sacrifice. Like I don't think we touched on that point. Like we sacrifice like not going home and like staying here and just grinding on your craft, like, or just doing school. Like we just do that 24/7. You know, like kind of no break. Like it's crazy. Yeah.
Another thing I'll say is like if you're not with like a hefty scholarship coming here now, dude, it's almost not worth it. Cause first freshman year, if you have, I had a $20,000 scholarship freshman year, I still paid like $55,000 in total for school. Like if you're not here with like a 50% scholarship or more, like realistically, it's too expensive for what it's worth. Cause like you get a quarter system and you got to do co-ops and it's 5 years long. Like that's a lot of money.
So dreadful. It's so dreadful.
Like it's a lot of money. And some people see the degree as good, but like there's other schools that you can do the exact same thing, have an easier course load, and do internships in the summer. So, like, you have to balance that decision. Because, like, for me, at least, if I wasn't in the frat or, like, anything like this, after freshman year, I probably would have transferred out. Because, like, it's almost unaffordable to be here. Like, having the frat house, like, saved me, like, $16,000.
Yeah, the frat house is really nice to live in if you want to save money.
Yeah, if you want to save money.
money.
How was your experience, like, living in the house? I know I'm moving in, so, like, you guys want to tell me some, like, things to expect when I, like, move into the house?
As a two-time offender, two-year inmate here, be fucking ready to have, like, no peace and quiet. You are not going to get peace and quiet till the summer.
17 guys moving into the house.
I disagree with that.
We have so many guys moving into the house next year. It's outrageous.
They have 17 guys, though.
No, I know, but
I have a whole village in this house.
Like, yeah, like, compared to us, like, I mean, some of us, like, I guess it does get quiet on the weekdays, but, like, there's 17 of you guys, and there's two of you in each room now. It's going to be a lot more different than what it was, like, the past 2 years I've been here, at least.
They're definitely quiet, peaceful times, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say be more ready for people to just, especially that don't live here, to just come and make a mess and not feel obligated to clean it up.
Yeah.
Which it is what it is. That's kind of what you sign up for. No, it's okay.
No, dude. Okay. My bad. Okay. Like, the people that, like, bitch and moan, like, the frat house is for everybody, you can't cut off access to people, are the same people who come in and trash the fucking place. So yeah. That's my biggest pet peeve is you're going to come in here, make a mess, and then get mad when the house guys don't want to have everyone come into the house.
Yeah, like, or when the house is dirty and you complain about it when you don't live here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kevin, before we move on, I have a question for you.
You have a question?
I'm either two or four.
Yo, Trevor has a question.
I just have a question for you. Well, because we were talking about co-ops before, obviously, and I have my own perception on interviews. We all probably do because we've all been through a co-op cycle at this point.
Yeah.
I was wondering, as somebody who hasn't done a co-op yet, what is your perception on interviews and what do you find important with it? And I want to contrast it with what we think is important.
Big boy questions, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think an interview is an introduction, ultimately. How you perceive yourself and how you value yourself and your reputation, right? So an interviewer's, like, imagine you're the interviewer, right? That's how I see it. If I was interviewing a person that wanted to work for my company, what would I expect and what would I want to see? Because you just have a piece of paper and your words to affect how they view you, right? Your reputation, like, this is my definition of reputation. Like, it's what people say about you when you're not in a room to defend yourself, right? If you're not there, what are people talking about you? That's your reputation, right? So how do I make this employer realize that I'm worthy enough to get hired and work for them and be diligent enough to make them money?
So the current job I'm at, they're doing interviews right now for the co-ops, and they were talking to me about it. The one thing the guy said that was, like, most important to him is, like putting effort in and coming prepared. Like, you need to, like, read what the company does and do research on what the people that are, like, reaching out to you are doing. Because one guy, he was, like, yapping on about the completely wrong department.
Okay.
And was, like, not prepared for it. So he got immediately rejected because he wasn't prepared to go into the interview correctly. And I also say, like, reading their mission statement also, that's it takes like 2 minutes to look up their company, read their mission statement or their products or what they do. And then when they come to ask questions about it, you ask them questions about their products or their services or how does it work? Like, what's the back end, front end, stuff like that. It makes them say, oh, this person took the time to research our company and like know what we offer and what we do. And so the people that come in and just kind of just like, hey, this is me, this is my hobbies. Like, they already know that. They saw your resume. You made it past the selection point. So like at that point, you need to like sell them on the idea that you put effort in.
So just be interested into the company, like the environment that you're about to put yourself in.
Yeah, like that you're willing to put in the work and you're willing to put effort to get where you want.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've been on the receiving end of what Miguez was talking about, how the interest of the company. Like last year I had an interview, didn't have time to really prepare for it, and you could just tell, like, the dude asked me about the company, gave him the bare bones response that wasn't acceptable, and I already knew my interview was over. And on the flip side of that, so this year I've been preparing for my interviews a lot more, spend about like half an hour like just reading their blurb on the Drexel page and then going to their website, making questions beforehand. I had an interview yesterday and I was talking to the dude about the company, and he just told me straight up, like, yeah, if someone comes in here and doesn't know anything about the position or the company, like, it's just automatic no. So yeah, it's very important to be prepared and, like, you know what you're applying for.
Yeah, my the best piece of advice that I've gotten for like interview stuff is no one's going to like hire you if you don't have some sort of personality. Like, you're going into an entry level job where basically none of the candidates really have that much experience, especially like people going into their first co-op. And so like the skills are teachable, but like the people there are going to want to have to enjoy working with you. Like, no one's going to like hire you if like
if you're a robot.
Yeah, if you're a robot. Yeah, if you're a robot. Like, yeah, you could be you could be so prepared and know everything, but like if you don't show a little bit of personality, a little bit about who you are, like outside of like school and work, then I like a lot of people will just reject you and because they know they won't enjoy working with you. So
yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, people want to work with people they like, you know. You want to be enjoyable to work with, you know. It makes everyone more efficient, makes everyone more lively. They want to be there because you bring positivity to the team. Mm-hmm. I know. Any other thoughts or perspectives?
No, I mean, you guys were all like definitely hit it right on the nail. I 100% going off the personality thing. Something that I definitely tried to focus on. Well, that's the main reason I asked questions, because I wanted to say this. But like finding something like based on what the interviewer is saying.
Damn, the sirens.
Oh wait.
That's why I love being in the city.
Yeah.
You hear random shit all the time.
Based on what the interviewer is saying and based on what you're hearing from them and how you can perceive their personality and what they're interested in, finding something to connect them to yourself that gives you more of a personal aspect and makes you seem like a human. Because when they see you at first, they see you as a piece of paper, mm-hmm. not as a human. It sucks to say, but that's just how it is. Like recently in an interview I did just last week, I was interviewing for a pay-per-view sales type company for UFC and boxing. The interviewer, first thing that he said when he hopped on the call, he noticed that I was from Richmond. He noticed that I worked for the minor league baseball team in Richmond that's owned by a big boxing promoter. And instantly, just like that, a connection was made. The fact that he knew this boxing promoter and the fact that I worked for his team, there was instantly a connection and there was instantly a vibe felt. And then another thing that I was going to say is not being afraid to ask a question, not about something negative, but be able to voice a concern that you might have about the position to the employer, just because that's something that they don't really get to hear. And when they hear that, they'll know that you, not think outside of the box, but you're not afraid to be yourself and sort of go outside of what the normal is, especially
about
in
both sides of the picture.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Because if you voice a concern in an interview, then you'll definitely be comfortable enough to voice one in the office when you're when you actually have the job, and that's something that they look for because that's where growth of an employee really comes around, I think.
That's good.
Yeah, I think another thing is like what Trevor said, like the personality thing or like making a connection with them. That helped me so many times get offers. Is like when I was in the interview, I like kind of slowly steered the conversation away by keeping it on topic, but I slowly tried to like get a make a personal connection with the interviewer. And that way, it's a harder skill to pick up on, but like once you do it and make a personal connection with like your interviewer, they're going to remember you so much better than everyone else, regardless of how much they knew, just because you were able to have a full on conversation with them outside of the fact of like work.
That's why you have to build up your charisma, like talk to as many personalities and people as you can, so you can know like how to adapt to like various personalities.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like going off of what Trevor and Miguel said, and like an example of this, in one of my interviews,
someone's
was
calling
I,
me.
On my resume, I put that like I volunteered or helped organize the volunteering for the Philly Marathon, and automatically, automatically he ended up like steering off the professional level of the interview and started talking to me about like how he was running the Philly Marathon over the weekend, and I was like, I'll be there, I might see you, and like he started to be like more into the interview. So definitely building the like personal connection with the interviewer is definitely nice, especially because some of your interviewers will be Drexel students. Like I had two Drexel grads interview me for a position. They were both in Greek life, so like that personal connection was able to be made.
Yeah. Once an interview turns into a conversation, that's how you know it's gone
it's
right.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's when so it's, easy at that
I
point.
Mean, it's not like an indicator necessarily, but if it's them asking you a question, you giving an answer, them asking you a question, you giving an answer, I don't know. They're not really going to feel you as much. You know what I'm saying?
Like, ask like, questions yeah. back. Like, you want to know.
Or just to make it much. Conversational, honestly. Yeah, like, yeah, any, that's like, that's how humans work. Like, if the other person is comfortable being in a conversation with you, then they're definitely more likely to favor you when it comes to when you get an offer.
All right, so yeah. I think the video cut out, but we'll try to get it restored, and we'll just talk about like fraternity memories and experiences. All right. Oh, so just take a small break. We'll be back.
All right, more entertaining stuff to come. Sorry.
About buzz talking. So let's go into our first actual question about fraternity life. What was the best memory you've had in this fraternity this year? This year specifically, living in the house, how was it?
Oh, fucking lit.
I'm trying to find one, dude. There's so many.
We
memories.
Did a lot this year.
Honestly, living in the house is.
I
want to
say it,
ever.
And he knows what it is.
Speaking to the microphone, please.
The Sheen moment.
Is that when the third floor comm room?
Yeah.
When I took the edibles.
Yeah. That has to easily be my most favorite fucking moment, dude.
That was one of the worst moments, possibly of my life. Like I took 120 milligram edible. I don't smoke. I don't do weed. It's just not my thing.
And we
took 120 milligram edible, and it just spiraled. Sheen, take another one.
You did that voluntarily. Dude, like,
well, no, I did do that voluntarily. I did take the other one voluntarily because the first one didn't hit that hard. The first one didn't hit that hard. The second one hit like a fucking train.
I have a part of the story, Dad.
It's when you're questioning it, like, oh, this shit did nothing. That's when you're like, wait,
this
started to hit.
You're
messed.
These edibles ain't shit, and Sheen's crawling on the floor.
Yeah, like
he was bouncing up and down on the couch like this for hours.
Yeah, it was
like literal tweak fest, bro. It's
like that's actually insane.
After having 40 milligrams, Trevor comes up with me. Comes up to me. He's like, "Yo, do you want to split an ice cream cone?" And like. I was already 100
milligram ice cream cone.
100 milligram. So, like, he breaks off a piece of it. Definitely, like, 75-25. Like, he gave me, like, 75% of the cone.
He definitely just broke off, like, the chocolate bit end and then handed you the fucking cone, dude.
Yeah, so I'm high as shit already. I take it, and the night just, I don't know what happens from then on out. Like, I just start bouncing. I want to leave. I want to go to bed. I go to bed and I'm in my room and the vacuum turns on.
You started bouncing? Why would you?
Dude, like, you had, no, this no, is no, crazy. Dude. I don't even blame Sheen for anything that happened there, dude. That any person would have been tweaking out with that amount, dude.
It was 100% my fault.
No. It was mostly Cooch.
No. Cooch started it. Trevor finished it.
He ended it.
Okay, hold on. Wait, can I say my piece?
No.
The ice cream cone, I told him, yo, let's split this. I'll take this half. You take your half. I did not take my half. I just like put it in my pocket and saved it for later. And then I went in and I turned on the vacuum. And I just left it. I left the room and left the vacuum on just sitting there. I knew he wasn't going to be able to get up and turn it off, so... It was kind of a form of...
Where did you wake up?
It was kind of a form of torture.
I woke up in my bed. I did get up and turned the vacuum off. I woke up in my bed, and I woke up to Cooch knocking on my door with a guy from Drexel. I was still high, and Cooch was like, yo, Sheen, Drexel needs to come take a look at your room window. And I was like, oh. I literally just... I opened the door for them, hopped back in bed... I fell asleep. I was supposed to make up a lab with Khalifa the next day. I didn't make it, and then I had to make it up in a different section. Khalifa was pissed. I was also pissed because, like, my day was cut short by maybe 6 or 7 hours. I was a walking zombie in that lab.
Was it a life-changing experience? Would you ever do that again?
No, absolutely not. Not voluntarily, at least. Not voluntarily. Like,
catch him next quarter.
Yeah, no, and then I proceeded, like, last weekend, I proceeded to take one of Trevor's 20-milligram edibles, the cookie dough ones or whatever.
And it didn't do anything?
And no, it did a lot. I was, I was in the Uber to go to Kavanaugh's because Droid told me to go, and... Grace, the girl who was visiting, wanted to go out that night, and no one else wanted to go out, so I was like, let's go. And then in the Uber, it hits me, and I just have an awful time at Cavs. I saw a crane across the water, and I was like, yo, why is that building leaning? And Grace was like, it's a fucking crane, you fucking idiot. I was like, oh, God. That was the time. That was when I made the decision to call the Uber. I called it without even consulting her.
You make it sound like you were on acid or something. It's a 20-milligram edible.
No, what was about that night though, Sheen, was like Cooch would just not let you leave. Like,
yeah, no, I want to go to bed so early. I want to go to bed after the 40 milligrams.
Cooch
and then
somehow
Trevor approaches me with the ice cream cone, just starts shoving it in my face. And I'm like, I'm already high as shit, and he's ruining my high. As if it was a good high. It was awful.
I think we need a bad decision count, like, everywhere we go. Like
tally on the wall.
We need a tally on the wall or something.
If I had tallies on my body, I'd be covered.
Or just, like, bingo. Like, the craziest bingo sheet ever.
You need a
9x9.
0 days since the last Sheen blackout.
3 hours.
Actually, no. No, it's been...
2 days.
No, let's think. Wednesday.
It's Saturday.
Okay. No. I didn't black out Saturday. I didn't black out formal.
Cap.
Cap.
No. It was Toga Party. Toga Party was my last blackout.
Oh, that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I was so, like, coming back from DZ Formal, having 3 Sour Monkeys prior, and then I bought a big bottle of wine because I had 2 dates, and they ended up giving me the bottle to drink out of while they were drinking out of cups. So I ended up killing the rest of the bottle.
Wow.
And I came back and started drinking more, and ultimately, I don't remember punching Bloom, but I punched Bloom.
Yeah, you punched Bloom right in the stomach. Wait, hold on. I have a nominee for best night at the frat house this year. It was right before Halloween. I don't know how it all happened, but somehow everyone in the house simultaneously blacked out. And the night ended with every couch in the chapter room being flipped over, mostly by me. And there were so many videos of people just deciding to wrestle on the floor.
Dude, I love these couches.
I think there was 2 individuals.
These couches are amazing.
Yeah.
This is still when we had the old couches, too. So they were like,
This is like everything got fucking turned up, upside down, thrown into a fucking pyramid.
That was like our first like few weeks here, too.
Yeah, that was like.
That's how, yeah, we knew the house was cooked at
Ryan
that point.
Flynn.
When Ryan Flynn lived in the house, that was peak.
I have a video of him Flynn's walking around.
Back.
His...
Yeah, Flynn's coming back. It's going to be crazy.
Dude, he's going to get fucked.
Trevor, what are you saying?
No, I was just saying I have videos of him walking around his underwear with a belt, like using it as a whip.
I have him like with like the pizza
Can you speak into the mic? Yeah.
Fuck.
You gotta remember.
I remember he had like a pizza pan in his like holding it like a briefcase and then pointing at somebody like with only underwear on, barefoot on the ground.
Granny beat him in a wrestling match that night.
Yeah.
And while he was in his underwear.
Yep.
All right, this is getting deep, but like we have to like kind of wrap it up. But like, how has being part of a fraternity changed you as a person? Like one by one down the line, think about like your response.
I'll go first. I'd say I've changed a lot since being here. I'm a lot like confidence was like one thing that I did not really have coming into this, and now I like being around a bunch of dudes that like they'll shit on you for anything and everything.
Yep.
Like regardless.
Anything we can.
Thanks. And but like you just learn to just like breeze past and like shit doesn't matter. So like I feel like I've gained a lot of confidence, a lot of like confidence to talk to people, to like talk back to and like actually like defend myself. So but also like it's so much fun being a part of this frat.
That's wonderful. Granny?
Yeah.
I think I've grown. I was pretty introverted before I came to college. And before I joined the frat, I was, like, breaking out of my shell. But definitely once I joined the frat, I just, like, became a lot more calm when I talked to people I didn't know. It's also very nice being a frat. And I have a ton of friends, a ton of people who I can talk to. I feel like I could go up to anyone in the frat and have like a good conversation with them, and that's something I really appreciate.
I'm kind of going the exact opposite way. I would say that it's allowed me to mature super quickly and actually like humble me a little bit. For some reason, as like a 18 year old kid coming out of high school, I thought it was like the greatest thing to grace the earth.
You're like, but just God or something. Like,
yeah, no, I mean exactly. But when you're here and you're around a bunch of people that have like similar like. I don't, like similar mindsets and similar traits and are very down to earth, it brings you down to earth with it. So I think it helped me mature a lot, and I'm not even like I'm still 20 years old, so like a lot of maturing happened over the last 2 years. I think I'm an extremely different person now.
No dude, I'll say like when I came out of high school, dude, I was really shy and like I didn't know what I was gonna do, but I knew when I got here I was like, I don't want to be some fat fuck sitting in my room in freshman year playing video games all day. Grant, I do that now anyways, but at least now I drink beer with it. But superior alcoholism has been gained. It's a new trait I learned. It's great. But like being able to like more confidence, like not care nearly as much about like the smaller things, I would say, or like knowing like you got a group of guys that that are like
no diddy.
They're going to help you out. Like, it's also nice to have, like, a sense of community or, like, a group of people that you can be around where they're not, like, it's almost like family. Like, some of these guys I know that are, like, I'm like, oh, these will be the best friends for, like, life I'll have now. And other things is just, like, being more confident or, like, doing other stuff. Just, like, having the ability to go out and do stupid shit is so much fun in college. And I know it's going to end after college, but, like, getting it out of my system now. Well, I can, I guess. And then, like, also just seeing new, like, approaches to how shit works. Because in high school, dude, I was just doing nothing.
Yeah, I feel like as a young guy.
Yeah.
And now leaving, I feel like leaving makes me appreciate, like, what I have here. Like, I didn't recognize it, but, like, when everyone's leaving and, like, I know I'm about to go home, like, I'm about to say, like, goodbye to this for, like, a good 2 months. Like, it makes me appreciate, like, what I have here. And what I've noticed is that, like, I've made so many connections that I've never would have made, like, if it wasn't for this fraternity. Like, it brings so much people, like, together. Like, every group of, like, guys, 70 guys that come from, like, everywhere, you know? Like, you make friends from, like, Cali, like, more on the East Coast. Like, it's crazy, like, what we could, like, talk about. And, like, it's a huge group of, like, people that you would never expect to be, like,
a great group
kind
of
guys. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't be friends bond. With as many crackers.
Like, everyone's just, like, so different.
That's got to get edited out.
Beep. All right. But final question. What advice would you give to, like, incoming students, right, when considering to, like, join a fraternity?
Like, be yourself. Don't, like, put on a different personality to try and, like, like fit in. Like, don't do that. Be yourself and just like be who you are, because you'll be accepted for who you are over being a fake personality, because people will sniff out the fake personality quickly. Yeah. Like, you know, people here who have like, who lie and do stupid shit, and you already know, like, you can sense it immediately. But if you're like true and down to earth to who you are, and you're not like being yourself, people respect it a whole lot.
We keep
it more.
Super real here. Like, we do not like mess around. Like, if you do something like good, like you're recognized for it. If you do something bad, like people
you
will
also
judge
get
you.
Called
like,
out immediately.
You will get called out. Like, it makes you like, it's like accountability.
Humble.
You know? Like, everyone just keeps each other like accountable. It's like the best thing. Like,
keep yourself humble.
Keep yourself humble. You know, like, everyone's going through their college journey together.
Trevor? I would say, just be yourself, and you'll end up in the right spot. Not on anything like religious or anything, but like, you'll always end up where you're meant to be in the end. So kind of what he said, just be yourself, and then wherever you end up is the right place.
I would say the thing that brought me to this fraternity would be, like, I rushed a couple other fraternities, and I just really, like, felt like I had actual genuine conversations with the brothers here, which is really what led me to rush DSIG. Like, obviously, all the frats, you know, you drink beer, do whatever, but at the end of the day, like, I'd rather be drinking beer and doing whatever with people I like actually like than just being in a frat and not having that.
Yeah, I'd say don't go in with like the wrong mindset about fraternities or as Greek life as a whole. Like, fraternities get a stigma, negative stigma, in terms of just like being a group of people, like a group of idiots who like just drink, which to a certain extent we are. But
to
like,
a certain
but
degree,
but
we
also
be.
Like, we have like our shit together professionally, schoolwork wise.
It's a play. It's a work hard, play hard area for us at least here.
That's the best
Very
way
much
to put
so.
It.
So yeah, like, don't go in with like the negative stigma. Like, I'm never going to join a fraternity because, like, it seems just idiotic and stuff like that. Like, I feel like I didn't. I found I rushed my sophomore year because I wanted to figure out exactly like what each fraternity was about. So that's what drew me here. I knew that like it was very much work hard, play hard here, and I enjoy having fun, but I also like want to come out of this place with a, you know, stable job and be able to like, you know, rent a home like 2-3 years after college. So that's kind of what drew me into this fraternity.
God. Okay, Dad.
Yeah, you're good. All right, so thank you for watching another episode of Living Out Loud. I'm your host again, Kevin Lee, joined by, you guys could say your names for the last time.
Sheen.
Nick.
Trev Sack.
Alex.
W. And I'll be recording a lot more over the summer, so I'll post a lot more. And then, till then, fall quarter, I'll come back and I film more in this house. So cheers, guys. Thank
Thanks,
you for
Kevin.
Joining me.
Yeah. Cheers, Kevin.